what I want to do today is take a look at something new with you, just start a kind of a new, whatever you want to call it, inquiry, focus, that's right, sermon series. I mean, we are in a church, and I want to look at what it is like for us, St. Francis, to be a great neighbor in this community, to people around here, businesses, schools, whoever, just be a great neighbor with everyone around. And there are some very specific and important things. I want to take the next 5 weeks to look at that. And a huge part of what Jesus was talking about today, about the steward or the master of a house, has to do with that and the way that that works, and how we start seeing ourselves that way. And some of you already are quite familiar with the whole idea. You've perhaps at one time or even right now live in a place where you have an excellent relationship with your neighbors. You do things together. You are very friendly. And what's underneath that is that you tend to know each other's strengths, what each other is good at, what their rhythms are like, their work rhythm, or when they go away or not go away, all kinds of things like that. And that's what helps make great neighbors be great with one another. In other words, there are strengths and assets that each has, and everyone knows what that is. And we're able to find a way to bring those assets out so that the collective dream of what this community would be like can be realized. It can be reached. And it is the hopes and the dreams, the strengths and the assets of everyone in the neighborhood, in the community, woven together, that makes that community what God intended it to be. Why God brought that community into being in the first place. This community right here, right around here, however large or small it is for you and your perception, there is a reason, there is a dream of God for bringing that out. And we are a huge part of that dream. And part of what we do as God's people is become really great neighbors to everyone around. And that is something of a shift. And for many of us, it'll be a shift back to what we understood a local church to really be like, what it was supposed to be. It's supposed to be a neighborhood church. And what's happened in recent years, particularly in America, is that we have gone to a picture of a church being a very large church. That's success. When you become very large, you become successful. And that's what you want. I don't think so, but that's a lot of people will say that. And it's not that being very large is wrong. It's the steps that often are used to get to that place are steps that keep us from being great neighbors. In other words, there was a time when our nation was filled with neighborhood churches. And those neighborhood churches knew the strengths, the assets, the rhythms, everything of everyone around. And when that happened, then that church was normally pretty active, pretty full. Things were happening. And then as people moved to the suburbs, in different places, there was a strategy to have that church become quite large. The new church become quite large. And what happened was, as some churches succeeded at that, what became the norm was that we became homogeneous. One kind of person went into that church. And it became very consumer driven. If you didn't like the band, or the preacher, or the program, or the building, or the cleanliness, or the way, or anything about it, you could choose another one, which many people did. And what we've seen in this nation is a rise of very large churches and a plummeting of the percentage of people attending them. Isn't that crazy? We think, well, the church is doing great because all these large churches are around. But when those large churches have been raising up, the number of people in our area who attend them has gone way down. By the way, I'm not making a comment about this morning. Some of our people are at St. Mattresses or wherever they may be. But for us, the way that we open that door into the hearts and lives of those who do not attend a large church, a mega church, a mid-sized church, or a small church is by being a great neighbor. Going back to something that was at the core of what it was to live in a place like this and begin adapting that and applying that to the way we are now, pulling some cues and some strategies from the gospel. In fact, even go deeper than that, because we're coming out of a time in our country where faithfulness was defined as having the best program with the best staff in the best building. And that's what you did that for God. There's no reason not to do that for God. It just didn't get us to the place we thought it would get us. And where we get to the place that God is leading us to is by taking up the lifestyle of Jesus, individually as well as a group. And He builds the church. So how do we do that? How does that work? So I want to look at a few of those things, and a huge part of it is us being the great neighbor in this community to everyone around. And we begin to see that as we look at the master, or in some translations, the steward of the household, who brings out the old and the new. That's the one Jesus says, that's the one who's got it. You bring out the old and the new. So let's look at the new first. What's the new? You will recall that when Jesus said that he had a series of almost one-liner parables before that. The kingdom of God is like a pearl, and somebody finds it, and they sell everything and buy the pearl. Or it's like someone, a farmer or someone out in the field, and they just discover this huge treasure buried in the field. So everything goes to that. Or someone who's out fishing and they find this tremendous catch of fish. The kingdom of God is like that. Oh, you know, just all those parables. Well, okay. See, what's going on is in this area, there are assets, gifts, strengths that we have yet to uncover. And when we uncover them, when we see them, and we start bringing them out, what we have become is a great neighbor. And what we also have stumbled upon is the presence of the kingdom of God. And we've stumbled upon the very purposes and reasons that God created that individual or that family or that neighborhood or that community. And we begin seeing what God has in mind. So you might have something going on in your neighborhood where there's this tremendous asset that's of somebody who lives there. You get to know them. Somehow it comes out in the relationship just because you're a great friend of that person, and you begin finding a way together for that asset or that gift to start coming forward. And what happens is that person feels really built up, and the rest of the community benefits from that. Then if everyone has something that they start adding in, then what's woven together are the assets that God has desired to come forward in that neighborhood. That is like finding a great treasure in a field and focusing everything you have upon that. Or that pearl of great price. That's what you found. That's what we collectively want to look for. Those are the new things. I mean, what would happen? What would happen if we applied what the prayer book says is our duty to work, pray, and give for the extension of the kingdom? What would happen if we started thinking about that as finding the hidden treasure, uncovering it all throughout this community? I think there'd be people who would no longer be hungry. I think that there would be marriages that would no longer be broken. Right here in this community. I think there would be people who wouldn't be stuck in their houses not knowing what to do. I think that there would be all kinds of things going on that we don't see just yet. I think that businesses here that have a little bit of a struggle getting going would flourish. And all kinds of things I can't even imagine start coming out because those treasures have been uncovered. The new has been brought out of the storehouse of God's heart and brought forward. Wouldn't that be something? And then what we have is the old. We bring up the old at the same time. And that's what we do very often. In fact, we bring out the new and the old together. And the old is those ancient traditions and pathways. And part of the lifestyle of being a disciple. Part of it is doing what Jesus did in the way that he asked us to do it. That's bringing out the old. And we mix it with the new. For example, just this morning, we've already sung a few songs that are new, relatively new, or with new arrangements. And what we do is we sing them while we're on the path, the ancient path, of coming to the Lord's table. There's something about that. There's something about that that stirs us, that brings something out from us that wouldn't otherwise come out. There's something about the wisdom of God in that. There's also the prayers that we have, the ancient practice of praying to God, of bringing our hearts before God, of seeing what's on God's heart and praying that back to Him. There's that ancient practice, and sometimes new things come in the middle of that ancient practice. For example, praying for the businesses in this immediate area. That is a new piece of content in an ancient practice. And we keep going with that. That is the old and the new coming out of the storehouse. There's new friends that we have and we pray for them or we walk with them or visit with them or whatever it may be. All those new things on those ancient practices. We keep up the practice of living like Jesus, doing what Jesus did. Discovering his lifestyle and adopting it for ourselves. And then the new things that are around us right now come into that. That's how those things come together. They're tied together. Now we become a great neighbor by, say, praying for the businesses and seeing what the deep, rich asset of that business really is. Why did that person start that business? What's the dream in that person's heart? Why would they just commit so many hours, so much energy, so much emotion into that business? What is it that drives them for that? Underneath that is a gift from God, something that God has poured into that person so that they might be able to see a dream realized. Well, that dream comes from God. If we were to find ways to just be a great friend to some of those people, those dreams would come out and start coming together. And a lot of what you and I, a lot more you, because you've been here a lot longer than I have really desired and wanted to see, and the motives we have for living here start being realized more deeply because that happens. That's us being a great neighbor. And it does call for some shifts. And some of the shifts is, one of the shifts is this. That we do offer what we have. We say, well, we're St. Francis and we have this and we have that. And we'd love for you to come and experience it and take part. And I think you'll like it and be built up. That's us offering something to them. But there's also us being their guest. The guest of people around here. And we just say, well, how long have you lived here? What do you like about living here? If there's something here that you might change, if you had the ability to change it, what would it be? And right there, the dream starts coming out. It's starting to be articulated. And then we start asking them, well, supposing there were other people who wanted the same kind of thing, the same kind of change, would you be willing to get together with them? And the strengths start weaving together. And all we're doing is being the guest. We're not offering seminars when we do that to a better life or anything. Not that we wouldn't do that. It's just that we've gotten to the place where we say, we want to listen to you. We want to know what's going on with you. We think there's something wonderful here, and you're part of it, and we want to know. We want to share that with you. Now, one of the benefits that we would receive from that is not only having a new friend who's great, but that person has friends. And we start seeing deeper into the community. And we start seeing more of what God's doing. That network, which is not accessible to us right now, becomes deeply accessible to us that way. It's all because the Ancient of Days, the Father of all, says this, "Behold, I do a new thing. Do you not perceive it?" And that new thing, it's drawing out the rich, golden giftedness of the people who are our neighbors. And we get to join in with that. So how does that work? How would we do that? How would we become that kind of a neighborhood church? Well, there's several ways and several levels. One of them is this, is by having some more involvement like we have been at the end of October, the 30th of October. Right here in this room, the Chamber of Commerce will come and have a business after hours event. And because of being here, whoever shows up will get to hear me say something. And, you know, obviously their guard will be up and preacher time, you know, whatever. But this is what I'm going to say to them. Something like this. We want to know why you started your business. And we want to support that as deeply as we possibly can. Because we believe the reason you started your business was because you have a dream of what this community would be like if your business succeeds. And we believe every business here and everyone not here has the similar kind of thing going on. And then if each of those businesses succeeds and those dreams are realized, then the collective dream of what this community would be like is at least within reach. And every blessing, I might say that, every blessing that God desires starts coming towards you. That's why we wanted you to come here tonight, so that we could tell you that. If there's anything we can do to help you succeed, that'd be great. If we can pray for you in any specific way, please let us know. Because we think you're blessed by God to be doing a business here. That's one way. That's one level. Another level is this. Because there'll be some people who will never listen to me. Just because I'm ordained. They're just not going to. And you probably know that. You've probably seen that. For example, at the Blessing of the Animals over at the farmer's market. There's about 15 dogs that morning while I was there. Five of them, their owners, took the long way around, avoiding our table. I said, whoa. Yeah, we didn't let them. We asked them, would you like your dog blessed? No, I wouldn't. Things like that. Yeah. 10 of them said, yeah, that was fine. Great. We got some great photos of that with Libby and all. But, you know, that's a third. A third of those people. And in other settings, there'd be more. They just don't want to talk to me. They will talk to you. Some of us who become a family on mission together, reaching into those areas in the community, those people in the community who are also like a family, house to house, they'll be reached when we, some of us who are a family on mission, decide to be a great neighbor, the best possible neighbor we could be to those who know nothing of Jesus. The gates go up. The doors go open. And it might take a long time, but we're extending the kingdom of God when we're interested in the strengths, talents, giftings, and dreams of those who are around us. Because we know, even if they don't, they came from God. And that's how we begin joining in with what God's already done with them. That, I believe, is how it works. And we're moving in a very, I think, healthy and strong way into doing things like that together. And I think we're posed to do that quite well here at St. Francis. And this is the first step. We'll look at some others in the weeks to come, but this is the first step, which you can file it under this. Don't sit on your assets. I could have just told you that and we could have skipped the sermon, but no. No, I wanted to tell you all that other stuff too. That's the bottom line. That's right. Very good. That's very good. You just retired, didn't you? Yeah. Freedom. Freedom. This is what you can do on your own. If you're just sharing with a friend and you start getting deeper and what they're good at and their assets and so forth comes out, you can say, well, you know what? I go to St. Francis, and one of the things I do, because that's part of my practice, I also pray every day. Can I pray for you about this? Would that be all right? And they say yes. They'll probably say yes, and then just go with that. And there you go. You've stepped in. And down the road, you may meet people through them because of that request that you would have never met otherwise. Yeah. All right. Excellent.